Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 2nd, 1998.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening or good morning, as the case may be, across all these time zones, stretching commercially from the Hawaiian and Tahitian Islands out west, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north definitely all the way to the pole. And worldwide, on the internet, this is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Glad to be here this morning. It's going to be open lines all night long. And in the next hour, I may open the Antichrist line. I've been kind of working up to this now for a while, spurred on by my audience. Made the suggestion. Matter of fact, it was Jim in Vancouver who made the original suggestion that we open an Antichrist line. And this all came from discussion about whether the Antichrist, many people believe the Antichrist is now alive. Now, that kind of turned into a discussion the other night of, well, if he is, what do you think he is doing right now? And that's still a really good question, by the way. What do you think he's doing right now, the Antichrist, if he's out there? And that evolved into, well then, why not open a line? I know there are those out there who believe they are the Antichrist, and maybe they are. And maybe they're not. Maybe they're deluding themselves in some way. Maybe they're experiencing some sort of mental illness, elevator, not going to all floors, that sort of thing. And maybe the real thing is out there. We'll see. Regular news, 8 states held primaries Tuesday night. California dominated the political landscape with an open seat for governor and the U.S. Senate and 2 far-reaching ballot initiatives to weaken organized labor's political muscle and eliminate bilingual education. Monica Lewinsky has sacked her lawyer. Ginsburg hired 2 more. The special prosecutor says he welcomes their presence. Independent counsel Kenneth Starr asked the Supreme Court Tuesday to rule on whether or not Secret Service employees and a White House aide must testify before a grand jury. There I may see a problem. I wonder how the rest of you feel about it. The Secret Service, because of the job that it does, must by its very nature be really, really intimate with the president and the first family. And it's just the way it is. And of course they are charged with protecting other heads of state who come here from elsewhere. And I'm not altogether sure that they should testify. They probably should have some sort of immunity. I mean, if you go to the basic question of what they're required to do, what their job is, and if the president has to worry that the man who is standing there, and it is a big intrusion into a private life, no question about it, that man, who always has to be present, could be required to testify about anything. I don't know that that is such a good idea. What do you think? Shuttle on the way to Mir. Mir stabilized. It should go okay. India and Pakistan are now capable of arming warplanes with nukes, and probably will be able to deploy warheads on missiles in a year or two. Is from the Clinton administration, right? Phil Hartman's wife confessing to a friend that she killed the comic actor, but the man didn't believe the distraught woman until he arrived at the couple's home and found the body. So there you have it. She apparently confessed to this in a phone call. C-SPAN tonight ran something on the year 2000 problem. For those who thought Gary North was way over the line, an awful lot of what was heard on C-SPAN should have scared you in exactly the same way. Now, by the way, again, with respect to the nukes, Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan on Fox News Sunday said, quote, "We're closer to nuclear war than at any time since the Cuban Missile Crisis," end quote. And here I've got a very interesting article. We were talking about earthquakes, as you know. I suspect strongly, and I'm not afraid to say, because as far as I can see, the rest of the media is, that there is at least a possibility that the India and Pakistani nuclear testing caused the Afghan earthquake. Nobody wants to talk about that. And I'm sure there are lots of political reasons why. They now think about 5,000 died in that earthquake. And if one were to even suggest the possibility that an earthquake could be caused by a nuke detonated underground, that would make it an entirely different argument, wouldn't it? And so I think the media is intentionally staying away from even speculating about it for that reason. Now, what does that say to you? Did you know that the Russians were working on a bomb that would have actually the ability to penetrate deep in the earth, dropped from an airplane, specifically to cause an earthquake? Did you know they were working on that? Well, they were. They spent years working on it. An atomic bomb that would be dropped specifically to cause an earthquake, to trigger an earthquake. Now, I suspect we're working on it, too. And that's a weapon of war. In other words, earth movement, or the production of earth movement, of an earthquake, at the right moment, could be every bit as deadly as something detonated above ground. But you'd have a lot of advantage, really. If you caused a giant earthquake with an A-bomb, or an H-bomb, you would cause incredible devastation, like a bomb, except your bomb would not be radiating. It would have gone underground, done its work, caused an earthquake, and you would have devastation and death, just the way you would if you dropped a bomb, minus the radiation. So, I've got information right here from the Associated Press that indeed the Russians had been working on it. And you know, if they are working on it, we have worked on it, or we are now. Right? Am I right? I'm afraid I am. Anyway, open lines coming up.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 2nd, 1998.
Alright, this is going to be a completely open line night. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. So let's see, where to begin. East of the Rockies, you are on the air.
Oh yeah, this is Frenchie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Alright. Hey, you had a guy on the other night that was talking about these ferrets that were the animal guy?
Yeah.
He had a good laugh on him. He must be a big hearty guy or something.
Yeah, he's, if you could see his photograph, He's got a lot of facial hair, a big beard.
God, when he laughed,
it's like he's like the,
like Santa Claus. Laughing.
Yeah, it's like you're looking at Mr. Outdoors when you see him. I mean, he looks the part.
He's very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's saying.
And oh, you know what? I'm kind of glad you mentioned it because I now have two PETA people. That you know PETA, right?
Peter, as in.
No, PETA. PETA.
PETA.
People eating tasty animals. PETA. Anyway, two PETA people who want to come on and debate him, and I lost his number.
Oh, gosh.
So, when I get it, I'm going to set up that debate.
Listen.
Yes.
He had the ferrets eating faces.
Yeah, ferret eating faces. Face-eating ferrets.
I think it was about, I don't know, some time ago you were talking about this woman who was sitting on a porch and a pig ran across the lawn and jumped up on a porch and bit her vigorously.
That's right, and I think that that pig had to be shot by a cop.
You know, I called up Vince in Chicago and we checked the journals and everything else on, and we couldn't figure out what part of the medical journals, what part of the anatomy that vigorously was.
Goodbye. It's something below the kneecap and above the ankle. That's where the vigorously area is. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Let me get this radio off. I got it. Okay.
Good.
This is Nick from Oak Harbor, which is on Whidbey Island.
Hi, Nick.
Which is near where the latest crop circles are.
Well, crop circles, maybe. You know, there's more evidence now pointing toward two rather terrestrial possibilities. One, high winds, very unusual high winds, and the other, a fertilization error. So we're not sure yet.
Okay, well, that's one of the things I wanted to report to you. The article in the Whidbey News Times as of last Saturday talked about the farmer who owned the field, who admitted that there had not been cow manure placed in that field for over 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's number one.
Yeah.
In the second place, we had no extremely high winds at the time that this was supposed to have been formed in that area.
Well, there are still unexplained things about it. I'm just saying that the people I've been hearing from have been suggesting that they think it's leaning in that direction.
Well, I can understand that, but, you know, we live right here, and I went down and interviewed some people from there. We were down there 2 days last week, Thursday and Friday, as a matter of fact. No, Friday and Saturday, I'm sorry.
And?
And took some pictures, of course, and all the rest of it. And when we talked to, I interviewed a lady who said that she talked to people who had seen the area Wednesday of the previous week, and it wasn't there, and a man who saw it Thursday afternoon.
Oh, look, it's entirely possible it was formed quickly. Now, I'd be the last one to say not. I don't want to take your crop circle away from you. But I'm simply saying, and I talked to Peter Davenport earlier this evening, that we're sort of leaning toward a natural explanation of some sort, as opposed to, you know, them. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Bell.
Good evening to you.
It's been quite a while since I've spoken to you last.
How long is
Robert.
It? Robert. Robert, yes.
Your dementia traveler.
Oh, yes, that Robert.
This Robert.
Good to hear from
you
again.
Good evening to you.
Good evening.
Well, I'm presently in Los Angeles, and I'm quite fascinated with the political process here.
In L.A.? Political process in L.A.?
In this United States.
So, you're supposed to be calling on the Antichrist line.
Why?
Well, you talked about political process in this country.
That's true. That is a... Seriously, though, it's very interesting,
yep,
because where I come from, our government is primarily libertarian.
Another dimension.
Yes.
So that, where does that leave us libertarians in this dimension? Hopelessness? I mean,
no,
the only
not
time
at
we're
all.
Going to get to libertarianism is in another dimension?
No, the you have quite a good chance of it, actually. If you were to, if all of the people who claim that they were throwing away their vote by voting libertarian were to do so, you'd have the same government that I do.
Well, I don't claim that at all. I mean, I'm no, I know
quite
better.
a number of people. You know, I've heard on your talk radio stations.
Well, I think that attitude is changing a lot.
Yes, it is.
I think that a lot of people are beginning to conclude they are not going to throw away their vote, and they are not going to vote for either one of the existing two same-os.
Right. Yes, we had our primaries in several of our states also.
Yes, I know.
And the... Well, the Native American Party, as you would call it here, is getting closer. They only fell off by 243 votes this time.
Yeah, but basically,
Arizona.
But basically, it's still the person with the most money that wins.
Not where I come from.
Well, that's another dimension.
Here. Though I was pleased to see that your people are in California are making the same inroads, because the two most wealthy people running for the governor lost to the one with the least funds and least charisma, from what I could gather.
Well,
and in Gray Davis.
If that's true, then there really is a turnaround, and then maybe Francis Barwood in Arizona has a pretty good chance.
Well, I wanted to also bring up something disturbing.
On my show, something disturbing?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All we have is good news here. Okay, Robert, what?
Well, this whole situation with India and Pakistan is very disturbing. There were, I've been gone for a while, back home.
To your dimension?
Yes. And
how are India and Pakistan doing over there?
We don't have any difficulty with nuclear power. Matter of fact, nuclear power is just that. It's used for power sources.
That's it. Nobody makes any bombs.
No. As a matter of fact,
have you considered
when the tests were first being done, and there was a possibility that when it was discovered that a bomb actually could be made from.
Do you realize the risk you're running by being in our dimension? It was Patrick Moynihan, senator, said the other day, we're closer to nuclear war right now than any time since Cuba.
Why do you think I keep a finger on the switch?
All right, Robert. Yes, well, you'd have a few minutes warning anyway. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
All right, good evening there, Mr. Bell. This is Ben from Oregon.
Hello, Ben.
Say, Mr. Bell, do you know the forecast made about Fatima?
Yes.
When I was a little boy...
You mean the third terrible secret?
Well, before the third... The first two were released, and going to a Catholic school in about 1942 or three, and the reason I'm saying this is a lady called in, and she said, what can we do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a prayer at the time, and it went like this. Dear Lady of Fatima, we come on bended knee to ask your intercession for peace and unity.
Sounds like a poem.
Yeah, and it actually, in the... It was a song, and it says...
No, that's sufficient. I've got the idea.
But the end of it is, we come on... okay, in the end, it more or less says, we pledge our love and offer thee a rosary each day. And that was the promise to forestall the Fatima predictions, was a prayer to the Blessed Virgin, theory being... that being the mother of Christ, a son would be more likely to obey the will of his mother than the will of the people in general. And that was the prayer offered. And this, as I say, this went back to the original predictions in 1914, because I heard it in 1942 when I was in about the third grade. So I thought that I would pass it on to you. And one more thing you might find of interest.
Yeah.
There are certain long-distance carriers
yes.
that will ring your number up to 60 times a full 5 minutes.
Really?
Oh, yes. So I have a new carrier, and it's the Christian Digital Network.
The Christian Digital Network?
It's the Christian.
You mean they're getting into phone companies now?
You betcha, and they're advertised on one of your competitors' shows there.
Uh huh.
And they ring a full 60 times.
Well, why don't they just let it ring and ring until there is, you know, just
know.
Ring and ring and ring? Why not? Well, anyway, I gotta go. It's the bottom of the hour. I remember the good old days when they'd let it ring, don't you? Today is silly.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
What do you think the Antichrist is doing right now?
Well, Art, I think he's probably doing a late night radio program.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, probably next hour I'm beginning to feel like I'm getting in the mood. In the mood for an Antichrist line. And you've got to sort of feel for this delicately and carefully before you decide whether it's a good night to do it. That's the way it is.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 2nd, 1998.
To the phone lines and on the international line. You're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art. It's Darren in Winnipeg.
Winnipeg, yes. Hi.
Yeah. A little bit cool peg these days.
Cool peg. It's cooling off up there, huh?
Yeah. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about. Plus, I wanted to talk about the nukes and earthquakes. But first, the way the weather is up here. Last week or about a week or so ago, we were getting weather that was like in the high... in the mid-70s and during the day, and now it's only getting up to the somewhere around the mid to high 50s, and we're somewhere around the mid-low 30s in the evenings.
Yeah, but good Lord, man, you're in Canada. I mean, Canada's cold.
Yeah, I know, but it shouldn't be this cold at this time of the year, though, Art.
It shouldn't?
No.
No?
Normally it's warmer than this. This is June.
Give me a typical temperature for June.
Typical, somewhere around the 75, 77, 78, something
instead,
like that.
Instead, you're in the 50s, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Or low 60s, for high during the day, and just all of a sudden happened. And there are parts of Manitoba where they had a little bit of snow overnight last night.
Well, I mean, obviously, we're in the middle of a weather change, so...
Obviously.
Yeah. Anyway, what else?
I wanted to talk a bit about the nukes and earthquakes.
Yes.
First of all, I tend to agree with you on it possibly having an effect.
The question is, why won't anybody talk about it?
Well, I guess they're scared and they don't want to admit that they're wrong. And even up here in a non-nuclear power like Canada, we don't have nukes. We have nuclear power plants like for research and generating electricity and that in some provinces, but we don't have any nuclear weapons, at least not that I know of.
How do we know that you all up there don't have a secret cache? In fact, how do you know you don't have a secret cache?
I don't know. The government doesn't tell us much up here either.
You know, I mean, we're going through this big fishing dispute with you on the West Coast, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You never know how that might spiral out of control.
Yeah. And anyway, on our Discovery Channel up here last night, they have a program called at Discovery Canada. It's a science news program. And
yes.
One of the segments on it is called You Asked For It, where viewers can call in or write in by email with the question.
And the question was?
And the question was whether or not nukes and earthquakes are related.
And the answer was?
The answer that that was given that was no. Although seismic activity is noticed around the area and that, but it's officially that it doesn't. So that was the answer up here too.
I see. All right. Well, thank you. Yes, of course. I guess that's what they're going to say, but they're full of it. I think there's every possibility. I mean, look, Russia had an absolute program going on for years and years. To develop nuclear bombs that would be lowered into the ground or dropped from a plane in a warfare kind of situation, go at least 135 feet down, detonate, and cause earthquakes. That was the entire thrust of their program. And you know if they're doing it, you know we are. You know we are. And to suggest that... you know, what scientists will tell you, of course, is that the power of a 6-point earthquake is just incredible compared to a nuclear detonation underground. But what they are not acknowledging is the sympathetic theory that obviously if you produce a seismic event, 4-point something or another, I think they measured the one in Pakistan, to suggest that could not produce a sympathetic reaction in a fault line, you know, a tectonic movement that's getting ready to move anyway, that's crazy. They're crazy. There's another reason why they're not allowing for the possibility that it may be causing earthquakes. It may have a lot to do with, well, we tested here in Nevada near me. I remember when I lived in Las Vegas, when they were doing it, they would give us warnings. People in high places, up on buildings, way up, had to come inside during the time that we were testing, and you could feel the sway in Las Vegas. So, if you could feel the sway in Las Vegas from the test site 90 miles away, don't even try to tell me that there could not be a relationship between testing and earthquakes, because I'm not buying it. Because I think there could be. It's just they won't talk about it. It intrigues me. It intrigues me that the major media worldwide won't even talk about it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Doug in Colorado. Listen to you on 630 KHOW.
That's the one.
It's funny you mentioned that about Afghanistan, the quakes. That's the first thing I thought about as well, with the earthquake causing that. I mean, the nuclear testing, excuse me.
Well, look, check me if I'm wrong here, but that's what everybody's telling me. And, you know, is it a little strange that the talking heads who would normally talk themselves to death over something like this aren't even mentioning it?
Yeah, it might take a little bit too much investigating for them, and that's they don't like to work too hard.
Oh, no, I think it might have geopolitical implications that, well, there I said it.
That too. I was wondering if you might have spoken to Jim Brickman. Isn't he the geologist that...
Yep.
Right.
Jim has not commented on it, although I would welcome his comments on it. Most geologists are afraid to make such a suggestion. Maybe Jim Berkland, in his retired who cares what I say kind of mode, might tell us.
Exactly, yeah. he seems to just that way, exactly. He's not afraid of the consequences. And I've listened to him several times. I thought he was...
Yeah, me too. All right, Jim, if you're out there, send me a fax. What do you think? Is it possible, Jim, Mr. Berkland, that a nuclear detonation in the, 18, 20 kiloton range, or megaton, if you talk about what the Indians detonated, could cause a reaction not all that far away in Afghanistan that could trigger an earthquake like this? Maybe Jim Berkland, since he's retired, you know, it's really hard to get people who have regular careers now, geologic careers of some sort, to comment on this, because I think it's a political real hot potato, and I'm just convinced. So what about you, Jim? Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Yes. I was going to mention something about the Antichrist.
Oh, yes. First of all, do you think the Antichrist is now alive?
I'm not sure.
You think it's possible?
Well, I think it's possible, but I was going to ask you, have you ever heard anything about the Bible Code?
Oh, of course. Michael Drosnin wrote the Bible Code.
Right. Well, I came across that on the Internet, and I flipped through it, and I found it very interesting, and I was reading all the articles where they had found out that once they believed it to be true, and then they found out that that could happen with any text, randomly. And they used Bill Gates as an example.
A lot of people think Bill Gates is the Antichrist.
Yeah, and they showed that Bill Gates was,
There are entire websites devoted to the fact that Bill Gates is the Antichrist. Personally, I don't think he's that bad at all. I have a little anger with him about the first days of Windows 95 and some of the bugs, but the Antichrist, no.
Well, the thing that I thought of is when I read that, because I realized that they were making fun, saying that Bill Gates could be the Antichrist.
If you think that's him, you should see what I've got here.
What's that?
I have, now this obviously has got to be a joke, of course, but it says here, Dateline, Redmond, Washington, world leaders reacted with stunned silence as Microsoft Corporation conducted an underground nuclear test at a secret facility in eastern Washington State. The device exploded at 9:22 a.m. Pacific Time. Today was timed to coincide with talks between Microsoft and the U.S. Department of Justice over possible antitrust action. Then it supposedly quotes Mr. Gates here as saying, Microsoft is going to defend its right to market its product by all necessary means.
Well, he definitely has a lot of power. And the thing that I think though is that I don't believe the Antichrist will know who he is. I believe he'll be more like a pawn.
But he might know. He might sort of have, you know, the way you have a sense about things. See, that's why I think what do you think will happen if I open the Antichrist line?
I think you're going to get a lot of nuts calling in.
Well, there is that, but I mean, there's also the possibility. You've got to admit, slim though it may be, that the Antichrist is out. By the way, could the Antichrist be a woman?
I wouldn't see any reason why not. I don't know.
I mean, Christ that was a man, right?
Yes.
So wouldn't it make sense that the Antichrist would be...
a woman. Well, I don't know. Since you've been talking about it the last couple of nights, I decided to do a little bit of reading on it, and I was very surprised because I've heard a lot of people in different religions talk about the Antichrist and predict it in the end of the age and everything. But when I turned to a Strong's Concordance, Antichrist is only listed four times, and it's not even in the book of Revelations. It's in the book of 1st and 2nd John,
uh-huh.
And it's used as just as like a group of people that just don't profess Christ came in the flesh as the Son of God. So,
as Antichrist?
Yes.
Well, in that case, it's going to be a hot, busy night. If the Antichrist is alive right now, what do you think she's doing?
I'm not saying it's a she.
All right. Goodbye. Wouldn't even associate herself with the possibility. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
How are you today?
Reasonably well. You are violating procedure with your radio up, aren't you?
No, the radio's down.
Oh, that's your dog.
That's our dog, yes. All right, the reason why I called
yes.
is that in 1983, I want to make this real quick. 1983, I checked out a book of Sarasota, Florida, from the library. It was called Philadelphia Experiment.
Oh, yes.
Now, a few years ago in Fayetteville, North Carolina, I tried to check out this book again, but they did not have a copy of it, and they told me they could do a search nationwide to all the libraries and order borrow this copy for me.
Yes.
Well, when they did this, I went down a few days later to find out the results, and they told me that no library that they could come across had a copy of the book, that the book did not exist. So I would figure maybe I had the title wrong, which I doubt that I did, because I know I checked this book out.
No, it's called The Philadelphia Experiment.
Well, I checked it out for 2 weeks at a library in Florida back in 1983. Now, I cannot find a copy of this book anywhere, and everybody...
All right. Well, all right, the best I can do for you, thank you for the call, and I'll do it, is to try and get hold of Al Bielek. It's been a while since I've talked to Al. Maybe too long. Oh, by the way, I've got some news for you. Now that I think about it, I'll hold it till after the top of the hour. But I have some important guest news for you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, Art. How's it going? I got a few things I wanted to talk to you about. First of all, that phone ringing thing. What I've read about that is that...
What phone ringing thing?
You know how...
Oh, you mean when you call me?
Right.
Yeah.
What I've read is that it takes a higher voltage for them to make the phone ring, so it costs them less if they cut it off at a certain amount of rings.
Oh, that's stupid.
That's what I've heard.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
You know, the whole idea of cutting it off in the first place is stupid.
Yeah.
And it's happened since we broke up the phone company.
Yeah.
Before then, things were a lot different. Telephones weighed more. They worked better.
Yep.
Sounded better.
Yep.
Now,
and of course, the other thing, too, is with the black boxes. That may be another motive behind it is, you know, the black boxes worked by when somebody picked up the other phone, it would think it was still ringing. And so that may be another reason for it.
Are you a phone hacker?
Well, I read 2600. I know Eric Corley.
You are a phone hacker.
Just sort of casually. But
even knowing that number, it is the number of the hacker.
Yeah.
2600. You and I both know it.
You should have some hackers on your show sometime.
I'm gonna.
Yeah.
I'm already working on it.
Good deal.
All right.
Eric Corley would be interested. I got a couple other things for you. I live in Coopville where that crop sort of rectangle appeared.
Yes.
I've seen it. It's interesting. You know, the people around here seem to have come to the conclusion that it's a combination of the rain and wind. That is a high wind area where it happens to be at. And I don't know what to make of it.
All right, thank you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello there. Art, this is Fritz calling.
Ah, Fritz, the unmistakable voice of Fritz. How you doing?
Fine, fine. First of all, I must make a correction. Last week when I said we had 2,066 nuclear explosion, it was 2,056. That's the exact count, plus one Saturday, so that stands 2,057.
That's a bunch.
Now, I remember April the 26th, 1968, when the largest underground explosion took place in outside Las Vegas. I was in place at 7 o'clock in the morning. I felt a...
Where were you?
Right outside Vegas.
The place to be, if you really wanted to experience it, was up at the top of a tall building in Las Vegas. And I did that several times, and man, I'll tell you, the ground, she rocks. Now, that's a long way away, Fritz.
But you have to realize why I went there, because I knew when we have underground nuclear explosion of any kind, UFOs will show up, and sure they did. The first thing, I still have the clipping, 426-68 on the sun, UFOs over Reno. So I knew they were over Vegas, too, and sure enough, I saw them. They were right over my head. try to take pictures, but...
makes sense to me, Fritz. I mean, it flat out makes sense. If they are there, they're definitely going to be interested in what we're doing in this area.
They measure everything. Every time you have an explosion, you watch for UFOs because of earthquake activity. That's common sense.
You know, we haven't been exploding nuclear devices underground, and maybe they had just about concluded that we had a handle on it,
mm-hmm.
and if they did, then what do you suppose they concluded the other day?
Well, I mean, they're constantly observing us, and of course, with India and Pakistan, this is totally out of control. I mean, you've got two undernourished nations having a game here. Who's got the biggest weapon? I mean, it's insane. But remember, we were there with the Russians back 10, 15 years ago.
I know, but we aren't into martyrdom. And actually, the Russians are not either. Now, when you get into nations like Pakistan, that changes.
Well, they have a power struggle. It's like children playing with fire. And of course, the big daddy, that's the United States and the Europe, the nations, have to come together to stop that nonsense because we've been through for 20, 30 years, the Cold War. We have to graduate and come above that level. Otherwise, like doctor says, you have the physicist said, we're going to be a zero.
Yeah. We will remain a type zero planet,
right.
Sterile, no doubt, at that. That was Dr. Michio Kaku. And by the way, the scientists that control the atomic clock, that clock which shows how close we are to self-destruction, I guess are having meetings right now deciding whether to move it closer to midnight. It had backed away a little bit because of what's going on in India and Pakistan. We might get up to about 2 minutes or even less before midnight. Anyway, one thing's for sure, something's coming, and we're not going back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 2nd, 1998.
Boy, do I have some big news for you. I just got a message from Robert Ghost Wolf. And I can now confirm for you that Monday, June 15th, at 11 o'clock Pacific, we will have, for as far as I know, one of the first times in broadcast history, two Hopi elders on the program from the Hopi Sinem, the Hopi Nation. Because we want to avoid any pressure or harassment being brought upon them from any source prior to the program, we are not going to give you the names until then. And I'm not even sure about them, but I think we may then. Certainly not prior to the program. We don't want pressure, and there will be pressure, I can assure you. The Hopi elders feel that the time of change, the time of earth change, is now so close that they have no choice but to go public. And as far as I know, this would be one of the first times that's ever been done. So it's going to be on this program, June 15th, 11 o'clock Pacific, or otherwise the second hour of the program. Thought you'd be interested. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. I just got a fax from Bill in Anchorage who says, Art, anyone who believes that the India-Pakistani nuclear test caused the Afghan earthquake simply does not understand geology, seismology, or the immense power of earthquakes and the forces required to trigger them. And, you know, I get a lot of this. And I understand that is the traditional view, the conventional wisdom view of geologists and scientists, but I think they're full of crap. And I think that nuclear tests... Look, again, I'll say it this way. I've lived here near the test site for a long time. I worked in Las Vegas for well over a decade. Actually, well over a decade. And I was in Las Vegas when they did underground testing 90 miles away. And let me tell you right now, the buildings would rock and roll in Las Vegas. I mean, they would issue warnings to everybody outside working on windows or on high-rises or in precarious positions to get the hell inside. I issued those warnings on the radio. And then the bombs should go, and you'd go back and forth, and you'd sway, and there'd be like an earthquake. Now, that's 90 miles away. And there's no way anybody's going to tell me that something that can produce that kind of earth movement 90 miles away doesn't have the possibility of causing a sympathetic fracture is the wrong word, tectonic plate movement, and causing an earthquake. I'm steadfastly going to stick to my guns on this one. I think it's possible, and moreover, I think it's criminal, that the world's media, and I mean the world's media, isn't even talking about it. Something's up. Why wouldn't they talk about it? And then, of course, tonight, there is the Antichrist. The Antichrist line. Here is a fact, Art. If the Antichrist is alive at this time, I'd suspect that he's likely sitting on a tropical beach under the shade of a palm, sipping a tall, cool drink and rocking in a rocking chair. His business seems to be doing quite all right on its own. Or rather, with our collective help. So here's somebody who thinks the Antichrist is simply sort of laid back and thinking things are going pretty well for him right now.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 2nd, 1998.
All right, just so that proper credit or blame is assigned, it was Jim in Vancouver, Canada. That's right, Vancouver, who suggested the Antichrist line by writing the following. Hello, Art. Love your show. Just comment on the Antichrist. You asked on the air a few nights ago, what do you think the Antichrist is doing right now? It's true, I did. And he says, well, I feel the Antichrist doesn't even know he's the Antichrist. He won't know until just before the end, just like Judas, who betrayed Christ. Judas himself didn't even know until it was too late. So he suggested the Antichrist line. Andy in Eureka seconds that, and all these other faxes I'm getting. Therefore, why not? Let us try it. I hereby reserve away what is normally our first time caller line, area code 702-727-1222, and I hereby cancel that line tonight, and I hereby assign it to anybody out there who believes he or, and I might add, it's eminently possible that it's a she. That I mean, after all, Antichrist was a man. The Antichrist could be a woman. Got to consider that possibility. If you think you're the Antichrist, or you even, if you even just a little bit think you're the Antichrist, well, now is the time to call. The Antichrist line is hereby officially open. Now, I no doubt will not begin to answer it until the bottom of the hour, because I'm going to screen the calls to be sure of what I get. You've got to have, if you're going to have an Antichrist line, you've got to have high quality Antichrist calls. they're going to drag me out of here one day. Anyway, there you have it. The Antichrist line, 702-727-1222. Now it's ringing like crazy right now. Already. I was wondering earlier on, would it not ring? Will there not be any out there who will claim to be the Antichrist, or will there be many? I don't know. We'll find out tonight. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
I'm laughing because it's the Antichrist thing. I'm waiting to see what comes of it.
Well, what is your best guess?
You're going to get a lot of calls, and there are going to be a lot of kooks.
You think so?
I think so.
Now, the trick is going to be to sift through the kooks.
Right.
And see if you can... You know, there's bound to be one voice in the middle of the night that's going to sound like the real thing.
I hope so.
You do?
Well, I mean, I hope so.
Oh, now listen to you.
Well.
It sounds like you might be on his side.
No way. that isn't why I called, though.
Okay.
I couldn't get through the other night when you had your person on talking about the animals.
Ah, yes.
And then I believe it was last night you talked about the double-sexed polar bears.
That's right. Great
okay.
news, huh?
Well, no. Old news.
It's not old news. I mean, they've had them before, but the incidence of it has gone up by many hundreds of percent.
Exactly. And in the last few years, I'm coming from the upstate New York area, there have been born... One calf that I know of that was both totally male and female at the same time.
Mm.
Many other mutations, such as an extra set of legs here and there. One two-headed calf. And killed and documented by NCON, a hunter killed it, a doe with the most beautiful set of antlers you ever saw.
Oh, brother.
So, I mean, this pollution or whatever it is that's causing this.
Better living through chemicals, huh?
Something like that. and people don't believe it. And, I mean, and this...
You know what I wish? I wish that if we would mutate, we would get some extra useful appendages.
Oh, okay.
Right?
This calf was totally healthy.
Now, I understand, and I appreciate your call, but think about it for a moment. If we're going to mutate, how about an eye in the back of the head? How about an arm out of your back? Can you imagine the things that we could do as human beings that we now can't do because we don't have these things? There are other possibilities. Sensory organs placed at different locales. I can just imagine all kinds of things, but it probably won't go that way. You know, we'll end up with something horrible. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Listen, of course there's a connection between nukes and earthquakes. You'd have to be a fool to think that there wasn't.
Well, but look, have you watched TV? Do you watch CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS? Nobody talks about it. Nobody even hints about it. Now, why would that be?
Well, I have an idea. Maybe this is all some sort of a preemptive measure for some other sort of event.
What do you mean?
With all of the earth changes that... you hear about, that are predicted, that are prophesied. Maybe there is some world government somewhere that knows something, and they're just trying to preempt the inevitable by blowing it to kingdom come.
What do you think the Antichrist might be doing right now?
Probably waiting for you to answer the phone.
Class A answer, ma'am. Class A answer. Well, he's out there. We're going to be getting to it toward the bottom of the hour here.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, thank you.
Good night, Art.
See you later. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, how you doing, Art?
I'm doing so far so good.
All right, this is George in Philadelphia.
Hi, George.
Okay, I had a you had a call around before talking about Al Bielek, and you were wondering where he is.
Well, not so much. I said I was going to try and contact him. You're going to have to talk real strong in your phone, yell at us.
All right.
All right, yeah, I've got a phone number for Al Bielek, and I should call it and see if I can find him. I think he's in Arizona.
Actually, no. I have a friend. Now, I used to live on Long Island, and I've actually been to the Montauk Project.
Yes.
Out there on the East End.
Yes.
And I actually have a friend who has been there without me, and she has seen him and the Duncan Cameron.
Yes.
They have both been in that area. There's a little residential area where there's some houses and whatever.
Well, I know Al moved to the South for a while, because I interviewed him once when he was there. Then he moved back to Arizona. Now, he may be traveling, but I think that his home is now in Arizona. I think.
Well, I have... I know that I've been to the project before, and I know that they still have, in fact, they're still operational. There's still some of the satellite dishes are working there, and there's still people, they have the military still there. And if you actually go on there and go to a certain level, to a certain point, they'll take you and they'll arrest you, basically, and say, get out of here.
Well, right. Secret stuff.
Yeah.
What could I say? All right, thank you very much. Yeah, I'll try and I'll see if I can get hold of Al. He's out there somewhere. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Yes?
Oh, sorry about that.
Sorry about what?
I didn't. I had the radio on. I was waiting for you to
hang
up on the radio.
I see. Okay, well, here you are. Where are you?
In Los Angeles.
L.A.
I have some fuel to add to your fire on the earthquakes.
Yes.
I'm surprised you missed this. You never miss anything.
Well, I miss some things.
When they had the test in India.
Yes.
I don't know how soon it was after that, but it was within a week. They had a 6.2.
China.
Yes, and then.
No, I didn't miss that. No, you're right. I didn't miss it. I had it on the air.
Oh, well, I was just thinking that the pattern.
The one, though, that really blew me away was Pakistan and Afghanistan. Look at the map.
Well, it was the pattern that blew me away.
Yep.
India, and the earthquake was northeast of India and Pakistan.
Well, the big question, ma'am, is all of you. You all know it. You're talking about it. I'm talking about it. Nobody else is talking about it.
Well, nobody else is as smart as we are.
Oh, I...
Tongue-in-cheek, of course. And the Antichrist couldn't be a woman because he's constantly referred to as a he.
Well, I know, I know.
And I agree with one of your callers. I don't believe that he really realizes who he is, because when he comes into power, he's going to be a mighty person. He's going to do a lot of good. And it's not until that first 3.5 years, then I think the power will go to his head and he becomes pure evil.
Well, I'm not ruling out the possibility it's a woman.
I beg your pardon?
I'm not ruling out the possibility it's a woman.
Oh, you're not?
No, I'm not.
Well, okay.
And besides, tonight we'll tell the story. I mean, we'll see. It's entirely possible the Antichrist could be a woman. And that the references to he just could have been a sort of a sign of the times, where anything significant would have been a he. When you think about it, the Antichrist could easily be a woman. Out there, maybe working in an office. A housewife. Your bus driver. Your school teacher. Your Sunday school teacher. Anybody. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Oh, that's good. I just got one thing briefly.
Yes?
On the year 2K problem.
Why 2K, yes.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, you're pretty computer literate. What about basically just never letting the computer get to 00?
Well... Gary North talked a little bit about that, about, for example, skipping the year and just going to 2001 for a year.
Yeah.
And that might solve some problems. He alluded to that possibility. But not many. And the problem with Y2K is that, you know, there are a lot for where they can't even do that. And all of this is written into code, which was compiled with compilers that don't even exist anymore. And it's going to turn over no matter what.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a domino effect. Now, whether you buy into that serious an effect or not, I think clearly something is going to happen.
Yeah, I was thinking even if you always just sort of backtracked and kept it at 1999 for a few years, it might give you more headaches with a computer, but at least it wouldn't flip to 2000 and cause all this breakdown.
Well, we'll see. They had quite a deal on C-SPAN earlier today about it, and it seems to me that most of what Gary North said seemed to be pretty much right on track. That's just me. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi, Art. I've got a news flash for you. This is Mark in Houston.
Yes, Mark.
I listen to you on KTRH.
That's the one.
We had an astronaut imposter arrested here at Johnson Space Center today.
An astronaut imposter?
Yes, sir. Unbelievable.
You're kidding.
Do we have security over there or what? He actually didn't have a house or an apartment. He had an RV. I know there's been a lot of cutbacks,
what?
But, I mean, that's kind of impossible to believe. But he had top-level access. He went to Pensacola, and he flew a trainer, and then he went to Corpus Christi Naval Air Station, and he flew a jet down there, and he just cruised around, and I need you to do a little, you know, follow-up on that. I didn't catch it all on the news tonight, but I wanted you to be the first one to know, because I know you got a lot of connections. He was just
that
a scam
is weird.
Artist.
Who, I mean, wait, what was the object of the impersonation? Why?
I really don't know. I didn't have the TV turned up, and I didn't get all the full story, but they went out and interviewed the neighbors at the RV park.
Maybe he wanted to take a ride.
He was a wannabe. He actually had the top-level security. He actually sat at the console for 2 days during one of the launch missions.
You're kidding.
Next
thing we hear, he's going to be part of a crew and sort of a stowaway that manages to get on or something. Wouldn't that be incredible?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the basic things, you know the next guy to you. You don't know who you're working with.
All right, I thank you for the call. Yeah, if you've got the right badge, the right briefcase, and you look like you know where you're going, it is amazing where you can get. Coming up, the Antichrist line. First time ever.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 2nd, 1998.
I hear somebody in North Dakota says the Antichrist will not be calling tonight because he doesn't listen to your program. And he has too much on his mind. He's busy. Well, who knows? Wouldn't you imagine that if he or she is out there, that he or she would definitely, definitely listen to this program? Maybe more than any other. You bet. Now, how would we know, write somebody else, that we've got the real Antichrist? In other words, actually, Kevin in Tampa says, just out of curiosity, what happens if the real Antichrist calls in? Would we believe him slash her? Well, yeah, that's going to be a problem, of course. I mean, you can only kind of go by vibes, what you feel. You've got to imagine the probability that most are not the real thing, but that out of the calls that you're going to hear, and you're going to hear them because the line's ringing off the hook, that out there somewhere, the Antichrist could be alive and would call in, and it would be up to you to discern when you really heard that voice. In answer again to the question of what the Antichrist is doing right now, somebody wrote early on a late night radio program.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
If the Antichrist is in the U.S., what state do you think the Antichrist would most likely be in? Everybody's going to say California, right? Well, that'd be the thing. Might fool you. The Antichrist might be in a really rural state like North or South Dakota, Arkansas. You never know. Just to fool you. While you're thinking the Antichrist is in California, actually, he's in the heartland. Maybe even the Bible Belt. Got to imagine that too, right? Anyway, that line is about to get activated.
On the Antichrist line. You're on the air.
Hello there.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Yes. My name is Nicholas.
Nicholas.
I'm from Kentucky.
Nicholas in Kentucky. Already suspicious. Nicholas.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know. Nicholas, I could imagine that somebody of true evil would take a name associated with great joy, as in St. Nicholas, as in St.
Well, it was given to me by my mother, so I'm not sure about that.
Your mother, huh?
Yeah, it's a little difficult for me to talk about.
I understand that. I mean, how long have you...
About 6 months.
You believed that you're the Antichrist for 6 months?
And I would not claim to believe that, but it's something that seems to be coming forced upon me.
Forced? Well, of course, you can't help yourself, right?
No, it doesn't seem so.
In what way has it begun to manifest itself in you? I mean, do you think constant evil thoughts? Are you amoral?
No, not at all. In fact, if I can just relate what had happened that brought me to this conclusion, or is bringing me to this conclusion.
Yes.
Last summer, my mother died in a car accident. And I was with her in the car. This was in August of 97.
Yes.
We took her to the hospital, and she had about a day left. I really don't know much about her background. I never knew my father. But as far as I knew, she was raised in eastern Kentucky. I was brought up Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
And she revealed to me that my grandmother, who's actually British, had been involved in things like the Temple of the Golden Dawn. I knew nothing about this, frankly. And it was shocking to me, especially as a Christian. But afterwards, strange events, I guess you would call them, began to happen.
Like what?
Well, for one, my occipital bone in our accident was seriously damaged, and I had essentially lost sight in both of my eyes.
Yeah.
And according to at least the doctors, I was not supposed to regain sight because once that bone is damaged and the trauma to the optic nerve and so forth.
But you regain sight.
I regain sight. And
well, what does that have to do with being the Antichrist?
Well, it doesn't have anything to do, actually. What's strange is, as I was regaining sight, for one, the scar left above my right eyebrow.
What does that have to do with being
actually a 666.
Oh, now that has a lot to do with it. You have a 666 scar?
A minute 666 scar.
Oh, my word.
And what happened after this
when
is...
When did you find that?
Excuse me?
When did you find that?
Essentially, when I regained sight.
Oh,
I thought, you can't...
Boy,
can't
better
tell.
Better to stay blind than come back and take a look and find... And there's really, you can actually discern six,
it's
six...
It's clearly discernible. In
oh,
fact, I haven't
my.
Really... The traumatic things that began to happen, though, were after this, one of the preachers that my mother had contact with...
Yes?
...had visited because of the funeral and so forth, obviously.
Yes.
And he... had some very strange things to say about the situation. Basically, that he was seeing some sort of. I'll preface this with the fact that, I was trained as a scientist in college. I don't go in for astrology, things like this.
A lot of people always did think that the Antichrist would be a scientist. By the way.
Well, I'm a geneticist.
Oh, that cinches it right there.
Why does that?
Well, because it's just something that everybody figures. Genetics, scientist, 3 6s, you're doing real well here. Now I see why you believe you might be the Antichrist.
It has nothing to do with science, actually.
How old are you?
I am now 31.
31.
I was born in the Summer of Love, 67.
Summer of Love. Love child, no doubt, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what your mom said?
Yes.
Well, you're a pretty scary dude. I mean, what do you think lays in the future for you?
Well, right now I am not working. I have a small trust fund left for my mother that is very small. I mean, we're not talking wealthy. And I'm basically staying in. What has been happening is, after this incident, the preacher that my mother knew said he saw some sort of terrible aura around me now, basically a black aura. And wanted me to come to his church.
Yeah.
I came, and an elderly woman there, who was arthritic, asked me to heal her. And this, to me, seemed ridiculous. I actually didn't put my hand on her. She took my hand.
Yes.
And placed it on hers.
Yes.
Her arthritic hands.
And?
And about a week later, I received a call to come and visit her that she was healed. And she was. Her hand, I think this is wonderful. Her hand was fine. It was as good as a 20-year-old.
Have you considered some sort of surgery to erase this 666?
Yes, I have. And
it just probably in Kentucky doesn't. Of course, what do you do? How do you cover it up?
The problem is that the actual scar is reflected in the bone. I talked to a doctor about this a month ago.
You mean to say they saw it in X-ray?
There is a scar of 666 on the occipital bone.
Oh, my God. Well.
And, well, what's becoming odd about this is...
How old are you?
As I said, 31.
31. Boy, that would be just about the right age, too.
Well, the odd thing now is that I began again to go to church. I had quit when I went to finish my Ph.D.,
Do you think that when you're in church, those around you and or the priest detect and feel something, they know they're in the presence of you?
Yes. In fact, over the past 6 months, I've talked with several rabbis, several Catholic priests, one Greek Orthodox priest, several Native American church leaders, actually not in the Native American church, but elders. I've talked with dozens of people, and... basically, they have the same response. It's as one priest told me, I've healed about 12 people now and seem to have this gift, and I can't explain that. It's a wonderful gift. But he told me that based on a lot of dreams I was having, dreams of the world on fire, things like this.
Yes.
He said that, he explained to me, he said, you have a fate, and
a fate.
Not anything that can be done about it, and I should accept it, which, like I said, I fell away during graduate school from this religion and from Christianity, but now, especially seeing some of this with my own eyes, and nothing, I detect nothing evil in it. In fact, it's a great gift. And I mean, basically what I've been doing is I'm at home now is working on some of the theories I had tried to finish in grad school.
Do me a big favor, will you?
Yes.
Before you have any surgery, if you're going to, take a photograph of
I have x-rays.
Oh, God, send me one of them.
Okay.
Do
I send them fax?
No, faxes are insufficient for this. Mail it to me. Would you send that to me?
I'd gladly send it.
All right. Thank you very, very much. Wow. Well, there's a good beginning. Or a bad beginning, depending on how you look at it. X-rays, huh? Actual x-rays of 666 on the bone? Ooh, along with what his mom told him. Okay, wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, this is Chris. I'm calling from WGST.
That's Atlanta, Georgia. Chris,
yeah.
Turn your radio off. That's number one.
Okay.
Okay, good. You've got it turned off. Now, what's on your mind?
I was watching the news the other day, or actually it was Discovery Channel.
Yes.
And they had something about the Sphinx on there that is possibly dated 15,000 years before the Egyptians.
There are many who believe that, yes.
And I remember seeing something on sightings one night about they had Edgar Cayce, the sleeping prophet.
Yes.
And he said that there was a chamber underneath the front paw.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, most people know that. I had Edgar Cayce's son. I interviewed him. I did that about a month and a half ago or so.
Yeah, and when they were doing that thing, they had some geologists doing the Sphinx, and they found a chamber underneath when they were testing the ground below.
Well, they have had scientists there that have done studies with ground-penetrating radar.
Yeah.
Which may or may not be trustworthy. They're doing some experiments right now over there to try and determine the trustworthiness of the images shown with ground-penetrating radar, and the way to do that, obviously, is to dig a chamber yourself and then to test your ground-penetrating radar and see if it shows an equivalent of what you're seeing or think you're seeing. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, buddy.
Hey there. Turn your radio off.
This is Carl in Minneapolis. The radio's down.
Good for you.
I have two topics that are vital importance to the world and to all of your listeners.
All right. Well, if it's the world, it's going to include my listeners.
Yes.
Number one.
You can make the world a better place. Number one was the jet stream coming down on deck. I heard that on your show
about
3 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Ed Baim said it would happen.
It happened here in Minneapolis the other day.
I know it.
And I believe that the tornado caused by the El Nino, the quarter-mile-wide tornado, sucked the airstream down right on deck.
Well, anything's possible, but the fact is, Ed Dames said it would begin to happen, and when he said it 3 years ago, people laughed.
And it's happening, people.
You
wake
know,
up.
They said jet stream on the ground, ha, 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 ha. Well,
it's
guess
happening.
What? It's underway right now, huh?
It's happening.
You
and
know.
It's scary, and wake up, people, and please pay attention.
All
now,
right.
My second topic, sir?
Yes.
Regarding your Guinness Book of World Record for the most consecutive hours on the radio at one time?
That's right.
How many hours is that?
116 hours and 15 minutes, and it no longer is a record. Hadn't been for quite a while. A guy in Denver broke it.
Okay. Well, check this out. I have a record that you did a lot of good, a lot better, a lot more good than that guy in Denver, I'm sure, with your record and what you did. And let's do it again, Art. Let's save a bunch of kids. Let's help some kids out.
You're referring to Vietnam.
Let's
all right.
Do it.
All right,
people, people, listeners, let's get Art Bell to have a radio telephone.
No, I wouldn't do it. No.
Like Ramona, it can be a tandem telephone.
No, I'm not doing it anymore. No way. As a matter of fact, I am convinced that doing that affected me for life. I was on the air for 116 hours and 15 minutes consecutively, which was from Monday morning through Saturday afternoon. And I had visions. I'll talk to you about it sometime. It was really, really interesting what it did to me. Well, let me see. On my Antichrist line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hey there.
Hey there.
Dennis from...
Dennis, turn your radio off first.
Just a moment.
That's important. Antichrist ought to know that.
I'm back.
All right. Why do you believe you might be the Antichrist?
Well, I'm sorry that I have to say I am not the Antichrist.
Well, then why have you called this line?
Because I want to tell you that those that have the name Vicarious Filii Dei...
No. Call me on another line. That's the Antichrist line. Now, you see, when I answer it randomly, that's what I get. That's what I get. Let me try again. Antichrist line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
I'm not the Antichrist.
Well, then you're on the wrong line, too, see? That is only for people who believe that they are the Antichrist, like the first guy. So don't call me on that line. I mean, you're just wasting money is all. Only if you think you're the Antichrist should you call that number. The Antichrist line, you're on the air.
Hi, I just woke up and picked up the phone.
Are you the Antichrist?
I certainly hope not. I don't know what's going on here. I just picked up the...
Why did you do that? When I have an Antichrist line here...
No, oh, then this is happening again.
It's happening again. It's like a terrible nightmare.
No, you see... Oh, man.
Maybe you are the Antichrist. Maybe you just were awakened by even, you know, like your ears, your pointed ears were burning.
Is this a joke?
No.
Okay, hold on, let me wake up here.
This is you just now woke up. You really mean that?
My phone just started ringing.
Your phone rang, and there I was, right? Is that correct? Is that what you're telling me? Your phone rang.
Okay, something's silly going on here.
Oh, yeah? I don't know. You came out of a deep sleep?
Who?
Is that what I'm to understand?
I'm to understand. Oh, my. Okay.
Okay, what?
I knew this was coming.
It is you, isn't it? Isn't it?
Oh, man.
Don't breathe hard. Speak. Time is money. You more than anybody ought to know that.
They kept telling me every time when the phone rings, pick it up. Oh, my. Okay.
All right. Well, we got to go. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. The Antichrist line is alive.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
So I know the fiddle and playing it hot. And the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, cause I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, you're gonna regret, cause I'm the best as ever been.
we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Well, folks, we've got the Antichrist line open. It's open right now. And we have canceled the first-time caller line for the night, devoting it to the Antichrist line already. There have been a couple of very unnerving calls.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 2nd, 1998.
Okay, here we go again.
On the Antichrist line. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
You claim to be the Antichrist?
I claim to know what I know and to be who I am.
Well, this is the Antichrist line, so that's who you got to be.
As far as you're concerned.
As far as I'm concerned, that's who you are.
Yes.
All right. Do you have the radio on?
No, I do not.
What am I hearing in the background?
You are not hearing anything.
Yes, I am.
No, I'm
not. Unless you're projecting that into my head and in the heads of all my listeners, because they can hear it too.
I am projecting that in your head.
All right. Well, you're out of here. You might have been good, but you're out of here. I don't care if you are the Antichrist. If you don't turn down your radio, you get blown out of here every time. International line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art. How are you this morning? Steve calling from Ecom Secom, Nova Scotia. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
Great. One thing your show is not, and that's boring.
No,
it's very interesting.
Yep.
But, the call just before the hour there, that fellow, you shouldn't have woke him up like that.
That was pretty weird, huh? I mean, it's like the connection was simply made by a third party.
Sure it was. Everyone knows that the Antichrist was on South Park several episodes back.
I know, and they had him in a battle with Jesus.
That's right.
Right?
That was quite the battle, too.
And
huh?
if I could come up, now see, that has of course occurred to me. If I could come up with a really good sounding Antichrist, one who really might be the real thing, or sounds to be the real thing, then I might go for the other side, and then we could have such a battle right here between good and evil.
Well, I'm sure they'll be putting Vegas odds on it anyway. Well, actually, the reason I was calling tonight, Art, was I was just reading in the local paper here just a show, over the weekend. I guess it was Monday. South Dakota, today, June 3rd, 1998, I think they're unveiling the first portion of the largest sculptural undertaking in the world. That was the Crazy Horse Monument?
Yes.
You knew about that, did you?
I heard about that.
I guess it's just the head and face section right now, and it's supposedly gazing sternly over the
That's right.
South Dakota mountaintops.
That's right.
Head being 9 stories high. And I guess when it's finished, it's going to be complete with horse. Outstretched arm will be as long as the football field, and overall, it'll dwarf the pyramids.
Did you see the man who worked on that all of his life? They did
I
a story on him. They did a story on him, and now his family is carrying the work on.
That's right. For the past 50 years, I guess he had been working on it.
You got it.
That's quite an undertaking.
It's his life's work. I appreciate your call, and now his family is going to carry it on. Well, dare I once again pick it up? It's ringing like crazy. Never stop. It's ringing, ringing, ringing. That's right. The Antichrist line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I was calling to talk to Art.
You've got me.
This is Art.
Yes.
Yeah, this is, I'm not going to say my name, Art. But,
no.
I've been listening to you off and on. My dad is an old fan of yours.
Listen, this line.
I've been listening to you.
You know what this line is for, right?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Yes, I
do. All right. Well, then, is it you?
Well, Art, you're on a subject that has been kind of in and out of my life.
In what way?
And...
In what way?
Well, we're talking dreams. From the time I was 11 years old, I started a dream that I had for almost 2 weeks, I think.
I can barely hear you. You had a dream about what?
Well, if that to describe the dream would take me a while, Art.
Well, I don't have a long time, so you've got to give us the nutshell version here.
Okay, you're on the air and talking to me at the same time.
Well, right? Yeah, it's how
okay,
else?
Art, you're talking about Antichrist. First of all, I want to know, why are you digging? First of all, you're bringing up things that are negative.
Because that's what I do.
Well, I know that's what you do. You're bringing people to think negative thoughts here.
Well,
we may bring about destruction of the world through our thoughts.
Through my show.
No, not through
my show.
No.
Could destroy the entire. It could destroy the entire world.
No, people are going to do it.
Well, if that's what happened, wouldn't that be right down your alley?
Well, I don't want to see that.
Well, then you must not be the Antichrist.
Is that right?
Yeah. So see, you're saved.
How do you know what anti means?
Well, I know. I've certainly read about Christ's life.
That Jesus is my brother.
All right. Well, now see, you are not even close to the Antichrist. You weaseled your way around until you were about to preach to me. Not going to happen. Antichrist line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art.
Yes.
You called. You asked me to call. What do you need?
Do you claim to be the Antichrist?
Yeah.
Oh, then there's many questions that I have for you. First of all, how do you know that you are the Antichrist?
How dare you?
I dare.
Preconceived notions of what the Antichrist is.
I don't dare.
Have a valuable opportunity to talk.
I was not
even planning on coming out to talk to the public.
Okay.
But this is the first show ever that said, will the real Antichrist please stand up?
That's correct.
I was very intrigued, and I, just as an aside, I must say you have an excellent show. I don't know if it was fate, but a couple of months ago, my cousin at a birthday party said she was listening to This Unique Man at night. And although I do work during the day, I wish I was on the beach, as the other guy said, drinking a margarita.
Well, that's what people imagine. But you know what people imagine is rarely true. And you're right. How dare I imagine to know what the Antichrist is? So you tell me.
What the Antichrist
is, what the Antichrist wants.
Is a man that comes along not by his choosing, just as Jesus was not by his own choosing.
That's right.
And I guess it was about the fourth or fifth grade that I was able to project myself over and have outer body experiences.
Yes.
When I was in junior high school, I started having global thoughts as far as getting a sense that, now this is really hard to explain, and I don't want to take up a lot of your time trying to explain the thought processes involved, but God speaks through one person at a time during each generation. That person may not even know it. And every 500 years or so, that person feels it really strongly. And every 2,000 years or so, that person feels it strongly enough to be imbued with the Spirit of God. Now, people have a conception of the Antichrist that he is the devil. Believe me, I am not the devil. It's just that this time, I don't care about the world. You saw what happened the last time that I manifested myself. They nailed me to a tree. It's not going to happen this time because I'm going to be incognito. I am allowed to start talking about it from the year 1998 on. That is why I permitted myself to call tonight. What is about to happen is going to happen. Even if I tell you what's going to happen, you will not be able to stop it.
That's quite all right. Tell me.
All right. Once again, you're a skeptic. You're thinking that this is a hoax, which is fine. It's going to start about...
No, I'm not making those kind of prejudgments. I'm really not. I'll listen to you. It's going to start when?
It's going to start... Well, it's already started. I did not read your book, The Quickening, but I can grasp what you're... what it was probably about just by the inferences that you make to it. And you are right. Nature is going to play a part up to a point. But nature doesn't have to do anything. We're going to do it all to ourselves. We've already started. If you notice, we are animals. We have this mighty high opinion of ourselves, but we're nothing more than animals. And we are the same animal that evolved to take a very slow life that we used to live up until a couple hundred years ago. We are now way too fast to ourselves. We talk before we think, and technology is bombarding us with no time to react, contemplate, and ponder our next action.
Okay, well, I don't need to hear what the current trends are. I know what they are.
All right, Art. I am sorry. The year 2006 is when it will start. And it will start by the United States, which is the reason that I have decided that the world must reshuffle the deck. The world is not going to come to an end. We're just going to shuffle the deck. The United States economy will implode upon itself.
2006.
2006. I would start buying gold right now if anyone wants to believe me. In the year 2006, world monetary speculators, just as they've done to Russia, just as they've done to Indonesia, just as they will do to Japan in about 6 or 7 months, are going to make a run on our currency. It'll be our turn. Do you know that we have what we profess to be a $5 trillion debt, which is actually more like $18 trillion if you add in Medicaid and Social Security?
You're not sounding very Antichrist-like.
What the Antichrist is somebody that has the power to stop this.
Is that you?
Yes.
And by what,
I am a world,
and by
have
what
the
means,
potential to be a world leader.
And by what, well, sure, by what means will you stop it?
If I were to get into politics and become the President of the United States in the year 2000, but I have chosen not to because I have deemed this world not worthy of saving at this time.
In other words, under no conditions will you accept that job?
Yes.
Well, all right, then if asked, you would refuse.
I apologize, I did not hear your last thing.
If asked, you would refuse. You would not run.
No, I would run.
You would run.
If asked, but they will not ask. If Jesus came back, they would not believe him today. People today are so skeptical. They're so self-centered.
Well, of course they are. I mean, but say something... To
people think Bill Gates and Bill Clinton are the Antichrist right now. That's how silly they are.
Bill and Bill?
The first man who had a wreck of his car with a 666 on his forehead thinks he's the Antichrist.
Well, what about the guy last hour who had the 666 on his bone?
If he was the real Antichrist, he would have had it. He would have been born with it.
And were you?
No, because the whole idea of a 666 is a silly, anecdotal phrase. It comes from some part of the Bible. It has no validity in truth.
Well, now
you're sounding
more like him now.
I'm a nice guy.
Yep,
I have great love for the world. In fact, I have more respect for animals than I do most human beings.
Yeah, you come at it a little like Christopher Walken. You're now a little more believable. You're a nice guy, huh?
I'm a nice guy. I see the future. And at this time, you know what the cardinal sin is?
What?
Of this world, and I don't mean to sound cliched, but God is very upset about abortion. Not just because we have chosen to abort little babies.
Yeah, but you must be all in favor of abortion.
I see you once again have the wrong idea of the Antichrist.
Really? The Antichrist is out there doing God's work, huh?
The first Christ was public. I am private. The first Christ had a positive outlook on the way the world could turn out. The Antichrist has seen the last 2,000 years and knows that it was not possible to save the world. Do you understand what I just said? The original Christ was public. I am private.
You are private.
The original Christ
and what
tried
is,
to redeem the world.
And what is your role?
I must cleanse the world.
You must cleanse it. All right, so what is your role going to be in bringing all of this on? You will bring it on.
I have already brought it on. The wheels are in motion. They cannot be stopped unless we take action right now, and we are too silly and too stupid to take action right now.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call, but it seems to me the Antichrist would be more sure of himself. Not somebody saying, change your ways, get godly or else. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hi, this is Shirley. Calling from Jackson, Michigan.
Jackson, Michigan. Ah, yes.
I think you're the Antichrist. Let me tell you why.
Sure.
We can't get any work done around here because all these guys sit around and listen to you all night. Talking about aliens and...
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
I mean, you've got to consider that. It's true. I talk about what? I talk about ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about spirits.
Right.
I talk about flying saucers.
Right.
I talk about... I mean, you're absolutely right.
Art, we can't even get our donuts delivered on time because our donut man listens to you in his car.
You see, I'm affecting the flock.
Yes. And I definitely don't think the Antichrist is a woman.
Now, you are the second woman to say that.
That's right.
And that seems rather sexist. Now, if Christ was a male, as we know,
mm-hmm.
then why could the Antichrist not even logically be female?
I just don't think a female. No way. It's got to be a male. I just wanted to let you know, Art, that these guys all love you, and they're not getting any work done.
Well...
You know.
Under the circumstances, I'm not sure they should love me.
But they do, and they didn't think I would get through, so.
Well, so see, guys, she got through.
That's right.
She was meant to get through tonight.
That's right. But we do love you, Art, and I hope you find what you're looking for.
Thank you.
Uh-huh,
me too. I wish that for everybody, that you find what you're looking for. On my Antichrist line, you are on the air. Hello.
You know who this is?
No.
This is not the Antichrist, but this is the anti-Antichrist, and my number is 999, and many people know it.
Well,
I was called as an 11-year-old boy.
Don't you have it turned upside down? Everybody else thinks it's 666.
I'm the anti-Antichrist. I am 999. I am the Antichrist hunter, and people think I'm evil because I understand everything he thinks. And everything he planned.
Now, you weren't listening. Did I ask for the anti-Antichrist? No, I asked for the Antichrist.
But Art...
So you're on the wrong line, aren't you?
Well, this is very intriguing that people...
Intriguing, maybe, but you're on the wrong line. I said Antichrist, not anti-anti, not Antichrist hunter. Just Antichrist. See, people just don't listen. So frustrating. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Dan in Virginia.
Yes, Dan in Virginia. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Did you know yesterday that the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol, was exorcised?
Yes, I heard that. Yes, I know that an exorcist went there and I believe pointed a sword up toward the steps.
Yeah.
In a symbolic exorcism. And then after the ceremony, he declared he failed.
That I didn't hear.
Yeah, he declared he failed, and you can't imagine that one simple ceremony, particularly on the steps of the Capitol, could cleanse all that is wrong there.
Oh, I agree with that.
That's too many devils drive out all at once.
I just thought it was incredible that they even put it on the news.
They did.
Yeah.
It was one of those items they put on the news, and I thought, how appropriate and honest that he would say he failed.
I agree.
All right.
Also, check with Sandeo on the earthquake and the bombs.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you. Sandeo has a view on the earthquake and the bombs, huh? Yes, I ought to do that. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
magic woman. Got a black magic woman. I've got a black magic woman. Got me so blind I can't see.
Premier Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 2nd, 1998.
It well may be the Antichrist is located outside the country, right? Or he may be right here. So if the Antichrist is outside the country, then he needs to call me on the international line. You know, I forgot about that. How could I have let that slip? The Antichrist could be in Canada. May well be in Canada. Antichrist could be in Australia, New Zealand, British Isles, Switzerland, anywhere, right? So, I'll have to take Antichrist calls on the international line as well, which, of course, is available to you right now. You get the AT&T operator in whatever country you're in, Transylvania. And call 800-893-0903, and you'll get through it. It's a free call from anywhere in the world.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 2nd, 1998.
Okay, here we go again.
On the Antichrist line. You're on the air.
Yes.
Hello, my child.
Child? Your child?
It is I.
It is you, huh? It's really you.
The one and only.
How are we to know? What can you tell us that will make us believe you are the one? You live now and you are the one.
There is evil everywhere. For I am the one giving it out.
You're actually causing the evil.
Our children are my children.
So
and what are our children doing?
Evil things in many cases. And you claim to be responsible for that.
Who else could be responsible?
Good point. Good point. What are your plans for the future?
Destruction.
Utter destruction?
Utter destruction.
Fire and brimstone?
If you will, I tell one thing to all. Three evil words.
Tommy Boy Malloy! Gotcha! WABC! Curtis Lee Waroo!
you can't count. That was far more than three words. You're an underachiever. On my Antichrist line, you're on the air.
Neil Rogers is the Antichrist.
Neil Rogers? He hung up too. You think Neil Rogers is? Most people think Bill Gates or Bill Clinton. On my Antichrist line, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, is this Art Bell?
Good guess.
Hold on a second. I got to get these earphones off my head, okay?
All right.
All right, you called in and you asked for a verification.
Well, are you the Antichrist?
Okay, the parable is this. I'm either the Hebrew Messiah or I'm the Christian Antichrist. Am I the one person or am I two separate persons?
Well, you tell me.
You want some proof?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Let's have it.
Okay. There are six beasts in Genesis, and they start from Canaan, and go to Lamech. If you want to take these numbers down, and all your listeners too, get their pencils out, you'll have the verification.
And how many numbers are there?
There are six numbers.
All right, give them to me.
Okay. Starting at Canaan now.
Now, just give me the numbers.
Okay. That's 70.
70.
65.
65.
162.
162.
65.
65.
187.
187.
And 182.
182. And those are the numbers that prove that you are the Antichrist.
Now, hold on now.
70, 65,
okay, now, out of those numbers,
187 and 182.
You have to take Enoch 65 years away, because when you total the total six numbers, it comes to 731.
Yeah?
And if you take Enoch 65 birth years away,
yeah,
you end up with 666.
Well, I'll be darned if you don't. You sure do.
I know everything about the Bible and everything that's coming, Art.
You do?
Yes, call me back and have your caller make sure they want me to come on. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, well, there is the proof. 70, 65, 162, 65, 187, which is the murder thing, right? 182 is 731 minus 65, obviously 666. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello there.
Hello?
Hello.
Who's this?
Who do you think it is?
The Art Bell Show.
It's the only possibility. I'm the only one here.
Okay. That's good. Hey, Art, this is your affiliate, WKBZ in Muskegon, Michigan.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's Walt, the engineer.
Hi, Walt.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Art, you know, you're talking about the weather?
Yes.
We got our butt kicked.
I know.
Big time.
I know. Look, most of the meteorologists who have spoken on this have said the jet stream came and touched the ground.
That's it. You got it. We've been running on, you ready for this? We've been running on a World War II submarine diesel engine on a big generator since Sunday night.
Wow!
And I had to, and the solid state transmitters don't like it because it's not frequency stable, so
that's
I had to fire
right.
up the old tube type.
That's right. That's right. Solid state gets real picky when you start getting a few cycles off.
Oh yeah, especially the transmitters, because their modulation scheme is based on 60 cycles, and if it's even a cycle off, man, it's not good.
Well, I know that, and I had to go and get a much better generator for my location here.
That's what we're thinking about here too. We had a problem getting the old diesel bird fired up, but we got it up and we kept you on.
When do you expect that you're going to get commercial power back?
Well, the thing is, we've been on sporadically with the generator, but steady since about early Monday morning. And we had the power company, I finally called and complained and said, we're media, get us back on. They showed up here about 11:30 with a truck and started going down the road, and we haven't seen it since.
Oh, man.
Who knows, but in the state of Michigan, they still got over 200,000 people out of power.
My God, 200,000?
Yeah.
That's absolute. People have no idea how violent the weather has been.
Well, I stood at my front door and watched the storm come through, and it came through at 70 miles an hour, they said.
Uh-huh.
And it was horizontal rain. I could swear there's trees uprooted all over the place here. And I could swear I saw the maples in my front yard. Those trunks were bent, and I was crossing my fingers.
That's scary stuff.
You got that right. My wife was sitting in the couch just going, oh, my God. You know?
Yeah, I've been saying, as you well know, for a long time now, that we are in the middle of a quickly changing weather pattern.
Well, I believe it.
And I think it's self-evident now. Where it's going to go, I have no idea. But the fact that it is changing, no question about global warming, whatever you want to believe, is doing it. Something's doing it, and it is changing. That's all I know.
Yeah, I wish I had a Bajan free play with the light, I'll tell you.
Well, my advice is to get on the list and get one.
Yeah, I've got some other stuff from C. Crane. He's got a pretty cool place going there.
Very cool.
Very cool. Hey,
you know why?
Yeah.
Because when they began, they dedicated themselves to finding and selling the best, and they really meant it. And they test and they sell nothing but the best. It's a very unique company.
And it's very good, too.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Art.
You take care. And thanks for keeping us up on the air with a generator. Imagine that. Since Sunday? west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi.
Oh, yes. Intriguing night, Art. This is Lee from Gig Harbor.
Yes.
I have a possibly relevant little news clip for you.
All right.
This comes from the little metropolis of Hell, Michigan.
Hell, Michigan. Absolutely. There is indeed such a place, isn't there?
Yes, I've been there.
Uh-huh. And back.
And back. this news clip, they sent me this without saying what paper it came from.
Uh-huh.
But it probably came from the Jackson Citizen Patriot. And it states that that it may be a little harder to go to hell this year because the bridge on the main road to hell is badly in need of repair, a project that could close the road for 3 months. And the business owners are complaining. The president of the Hell Chamber of Commerce, Jim Lay, claims it'll close the town and send stores into bankruptcy. So the officials acknowledge that the repair work is going to cause disruption, but they insist that their plans to fix the road to hell spring from good intentions. The road suffers damage each year when hell freezes
over. When hell freezes over. Which I'm sure it does on a regular basis in Michigan.
Absolutely it does.
Is there any lore on why they named their town hell?
I don't know. I have no idea. I went there many, many years ago, and at that time, in the 60s, it was a very, very tiny, tiny little town, which really didn't appear to have, you know, outstanding natural features, you know, like bubbly mud pots or anything that you
might. But you know what they could, you know what they could do that would really boost tourism?
What's that?
They could drill a really, really deep hole.
You know, I thought about that hole when I saw this article.
Well, there you are. As you well know, we have, thank you very much for the call, the sounds from hell. We have those, and I've got them right here. Now, it is claimed that these were recorded in Siberia with a microphone that was located into a, actually lowered into, not all the way in, but lowered into a 9-mile-deep hole, and here's what they came up with. Listen. Here it is. Yes.
Am I here?
Well, only you know that for sure. Yes, you're on the air.
I mean with you. That's good. This is Nick, Satan, Scratch, Beelzebub, the devil, the father of lies, the enemy of righteousness, the prince of darkness.
It is you.
I would say. Although I do appreciate the other callers.
Well, of course you do. They are your subjects. You have a sense of humor, I can at least.
Well, sure. I was going to give you a little background.
What do you think about the guy who gave me the number 70, 65, 162, 65, 187, 182, and then deducted 65 to get 666? Was he on the mark?
Well, Art, I don't work alone. So any subjects I can get to help and any help we can get, any false prophets or rumors are okay by me.
You even foster those. You want those. You want other people to even think they are you.
You know, even your program is very exciting to me at this time to share the lovely things that are in store.
Lovely things that are in store for,
sure.
For us. Yeah,
you
that's one very important question to ask you if you're willing to tell us what lies ahead.
Well. You know, I'm a student of the past more than the future.
Aren't they one and the same usually?
Well, I am a great scholar in the past and dwell on the past and hope that the future holds great things for me and those who follow me.
Mm-hmm.
The
what do you consider to be great things?
Well, you see,
define great things.
You see, there needs to be opposition in all things. There could not be a God without
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? That really, really, really makes sense. I mean, how would one delineate good if one did not have evil to consider?
You could not have good without bad. You could not have pleasure without pain.
So
you could not have light without darkness.
Exactly. So you would be into the pain part and the darkness.
Well, not necessarily pain. It's just my plan versus his plan. And you see, in the history of the past, when we part the veil and we go back beyond,
yes,
we find that there was one-third of all the house of heaven that followed me. That's one-third of all the souls who have ever been born into this world. That's a great number. Plus all the numbers who are
daily. It's just about the number that elected our president, actually. It really is.
He's one of my favorites.
Yes.
You know that.
Yes.
Well, would you like to have one little history lesson and something you won't find in your Sunday school class?
That's why I'm here.
Well, let's go back. I don't know if you've ever done any Bigfoot shows. Have you ever done any Bigfoot shows?
Absolutely. I've done lots of Bigfoot shows.
You know, they've never found any that I know of, any real skeletons or anything of a giant hairy man.
And why would that be?
Well, back in the beginning of the world, after Adam and Eve, they had two sons, Cain and Abel.
Yep.
And Cain killed his brother, Abel. And he was cursed that he would never be able to be killed, that he would be a wanderer and a sojourner through the world. And he said that was too terrible for him. Cain was one of my first and greatest followers. Cain is Sasquatch, Bigfoot, who still roams the earth today.
Wow. You're right. I never thought about that.
Would you like one more good one?
Whatever you're willing to offer.
Well, at the Tower of Babel was one of my greatest times. I don't know if you've read the New or the Old Testament.
The Tower of Babel in Iraq?
Yeah.
Yes.
The Tower of Babel was destroyed when the languages were confused. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, of course.
Well, the Tower of Babel, man, was all of one language. And I had great influence among the people. And they began to build a great project. This project they called a tower. It wasn't a large, tall building. But if you read the scripture carefully, it says that anything that would be imaginable to the people they would be able to accomplish, God had to destroy it. God had to destroy it, or man would be able to do it. That tower was not a tall, senseless building.
Is there
it was
to
a
be,
time transformer.
Yeah, I understand. Is there to be a final battle between good and you?
You know, good is kind of a... good is whoever wins. If I win, I'll be good.
Good is whoever wins.
Good
if I
whoever
win, I'll be good. You've got to think about it that way, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Now, if I win, everyone will say that I'm good.
And will worship you.
Many do, already.
You're very serious, aren't you?
Sure. Many, many do. Bill Clinton
worships you.
Absolutely. Where do you think he gets his power?
You know, once I had Father... the last time I had Father Malachi Martin on, I don't know whether you happen to hear that or not.
No.
He's a priest. Has consulted...
many priests are followers of me.
Well, that may or may... yeah, that may be true. But what I'm getting to here is I asked Father Martin whether Bill Clinton was perfectly possessed. And you know what he said? No comment. You find that humorous?
I find his power comes from a great and powerful source.
How long have you been aware of what and who you are?
Since the age of 12.
And your age now?
35.
That's about the right age. And you're certain of this? There is no...
I can see beyond the veil. I have seen beyond the veil from the beginning of time. I can go beyond and back and forth at will. And it's a great, wonderful experience because I can remember the things that, all the people of this world did before they came here, all the things they did to put me down and to foil my plan and to take my power away.
And your day now is close, is it not?
It is at hand.
Your day is at hand.
My day is at hand.
So there will be the battle, it will be soon, and the winner will be worshipped.
The winner will be worshipped. And remember, one-third followed me then, and my numbers grow daily, hourly, minutely, secondly.
Well, I don't doubt that. In fact, in some ways, the mere fact that I opened the Antichrist line, and I get so many calls that it's just utterly jammed with people saying they are the Antichrist, may be a testimonial to everything you have just said.
The only problem is, with all the people that join me in my power, in my kingdom, in my dominion, others get just as strong going the other way, becoming, you would call, righteous.
And you think there are equal numbers becoming righteous?
They're maybe not. No, I'm definitely gaining more ground. But the people who are becoming righteous are becoming more and more powerful in their righteousness, which is a great struggle for me.
All right. I appreciate your call. Thank you. And your call is one that I'm going to have to think very hard about. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 2nd, 1998. Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 2nd, 1998.
Somebody writes, boo. Who said the Antichrist is a man? Just more patriarchal propaganda. Well, I agree. I just have not had any women call yet who claim to be that person. Somebody from New York writes, you're a very cruel person. Antichrist line. Maybe you should close the line and look in the mirror. Well, that's what I have my studio cam for. You know? Got a monitor right here. I'm looking at it. Oh my. You should see my studio picture.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues. Courtesy of Premier Networks.
All right, here's another fax. Dear Art, yes, the Antichrist is in fact a woman. I know, because I was married to her. No one's figured out the 666 yet. The answer's in the Bible. When Satan was cast out of heaven, one-third of the angels were cast out with him. When Judgment Day comes, a third of humanity will ascend to heaven. The remaining two-thirds will belong to Satan. Okay, write out two-thirds in decimal form. I get it. Good show, Art. Chris in Pocatello, Idaho. And, well, all right, then. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let's find out if it could be true. All right? This final hour is reserved, my Antichrist line is reserved for females only. Females only who think they're the Antichrist. That's what we're going to do. Let me repeat it so you all get it out there. Females only. Area code 702-727-1222. Females only. That way we'll find out if there are any out there claiming to be the Antichrist. That's it. Females only. Are you listening? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Well, this is a good shot, Art.
Yes, sir.
Can I give you my perspective on this?
Absolutely.
This is very unusual.
Sure.
I believe that, I was sitting in a jacuzzi with two friends, and for some reason I came up with a question. And I said, who is the most evil person you guys know on this planet?
And what did they say?
That you know personally, not Hitler or something.
Yeah.
And they both said, I am, at the same time.
Really?
And you were in
the hot tub with both of them?
Right. And I wiped the sweat from my brow, and I said, gee, I thought it was me. And basically, there's good and evil in every human being.
Right.
And that's what this is about. And it's in varying degrees. Nobody on this planet's 100% evil or 100% good.
Right. Well, except perhaps...
Well, Antichrist is those, think of the word, against Christ.
I've thought of it, yeah.
And there's a lot of things against Christ.
I bet you got out of that hot tub quick.
No.
No?
We're all friends.
Well,
and it was growing...
you know what they say, birds of a feather take hot tubs together.
Well, we're all growing. You know, we're kind of seeking people, as is everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone seeks.
You know, I know.
But
to put them on tables and probes and stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, your show has a lot of food for thought.
It does. And some of it is rather indigestible, some of it digestible. This is a true story. Remember the person called earlier and said there was a fake astronaut? It's true. Let me read this to you. It's from my friend Robert, who sent it from KQMS, AP. NASA's got some egg on its face. That after the arrest of a 48-year-old pilot for allegedly talking his way into some of the space agency's most secure areas with a long list of phony credentials. Jerry Whitridge is accused of repeatedly claiming that he was an astronaut, a CIA employee with a lifetime appointment, and a Medal of Honor winner. Investigators say he used a fake resume to gain access to a naval flight simulator, sit at the console of mission control at the Marshall Flight Center, and receive non-public technical material about the space shuttle. You've got to be kidding. He was arrested Sunday after using his false credentials in email exchanges with an official at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida. He was seeking clearance to fly a T-45 aircraft. NASA has yet to comment on his arrest. Incredible. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes. I was just wondering about the,
Turn your radio off. That's number one. Before you can wonder at all, you've got to have your radio turned off.
Right.
Now you can wonder. What?
I was wondering, how a woman might know that she is the Antichrist if she thought she was.
I guess the same way a guy would know. I mean, you know, the evil would speak to you or something. Right?
Well, I was thinking it might be Alyssa Milano.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
Because, I mean, she brings up certain feelings.
Well, yeah, but you could say that about a lot of good-looking women, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess you could.
Temptation.
So, is the Antichrist, if she is a female, would she be an attractive woman?
That's a really good question. I would think probably Yes.
So I was just thinking, like,
there was an old song, Marry an Ugly Woman. You remember that?
No.
Way back in the 50s, so you probably don't remember it. Marry an Ugly Woman. Make an ugly woman your wife, you'll be happy for the rest of your life.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what the song said.
Well, I was thinking, you know, the Papa Smurf.
The what?
Papa Smurf from the Smurfs.
The Smurfs?
Yeah. I mean, the Papa Smurf, he kind of had, like, control over the whole group. I was thinking maybe the people behind that show, maybe they have something to do with the Antichrist.
May well be. Who knows? Thank you.
The Antichrist line. You're on the air.
Hello there.
Art Bell. Can you hear me?
I hear you. I hear you.
You've been waiting for me to call all morning. And I'm here. What is it you want to ask of me, Mr. Bell?
What are your plans?
My plans, Mr. Bell. The world is exquisitely evil. It always has been. It shall ever be that way. And I shall rule supreme over it all, Mr. Bell.
That's enough of that one for me. Oh, man, where did he get that sound in the background? That was kind of realistic. That was a really eerie sound, wasn't it? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, this is Jess from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
How you doing, Jess?
Hey, okay, how you doing?
Well, I'm not sure at the moment, actually. I mean, the show goes on, but that was a pretty weird call. Anyway, what's up?
Well, a few comments. I was just thinking that since Jesus appeared to have a essence of a female in him, the Antichrist would be a female with the essence of a male.
Yeah, same thing. Well, with the essence, you mean like a guy in touch with his feminine side, you mean something like that?
As opposed to what people like to call a soul. Which doesn't actually exist.
Could easily be.
Hail Satan.
Oh. See how that... Hail Satan, huh? I haven't heard that since you know who was on the air. Hail Satan, huh? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Digestive difficulties. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, Art.
Yes.
I came across something tonight when your show was on about the Antichrist, and it makes me almost as crazy as some of the people you've got calling in. Which really concerns me. I'm just gonna have to think about whether or not I should listen to your shows anymore.
Well, I tell you, maybe not.
Well, I was sitting at a distance from my computer listening to the different callers, and after the first caller,
yes,
you had come on, the young man with the injury to his head or whatever.
Not an injury, a mark. Well,
right,
a scar. And as a matter of fact, but a scar...
He was in an accident.
A scar that went to the bone.
Right. Well, you know, you told us before it started to kind of use our... to discern.
Yeah, try and listen to the different ones. And
right, and really, he was the only one that I felt might have been credible, and I really did feel sorry for him, that he might be up against that. But as I was looking at my computer screen, we have Windows 95 with the clouded sky background.
Oh, yeah.
There's an image in that, and I saw it tonight, and it's a face of a man.
You saw this in your Windows 95?
Yes, it's there right now, and I think other people can see it. And that makes me sound crazy, and I question whether or not I should call and tell you, because I've already talked to you tonight. So I thought if I could get through again, maybe.
Oh, you're not supposed to be on twice. So you're
I'm sorry, but this is, you know.
All right. Well, all right. I've got to get off the line. You're not supposed to call twice. Think of all the people trying to get through. But if your message nevertheless made it through, so look at your Windows 95 screen and see if you all see a face there. Figures it'd be there, right? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
This is first time caller line?
Well, I'm sorry. No, that's, of course, that's incorrect. Where's my head? Now you're on.
I'm glad I finally got through because I wanted to clear a few things up.
Okay.
Okay, listen. All that stuff they were talking about before. I mean, now let me ask you something about the nature of demons and devils and the rebellion and all that. Have you ever thought to ask their side of the picture?
All the time, why did they
do what they do?
All the time. Now, this is the Antichrist line. Do you claim...
Yes, I am the Antichrist.
You are?
Yes, I am the representative of the serpent faction on this planet.
Okie dokie.
Now, I want to explain a few things,
Please.
Okay, now, you're quite familiar with Zachariah Sitchin, right?
Sitchin.
You know, the Anunnaki...
Not Sitchin. That sounds like somebody's sewing. It's Sitchin.
I'm going to give you a little history lesson.
All right. Give me some
history. When humanity was created, they were created mainly to be slaves, to work in the mines, and do the bidding of the gods. We of the serpent faction, we rebelled against that idea. We didn't like the idea of creating people to be slaves.
You don't like, well, in other words, you don't like work.
Well, not that. You see, humans were really never meant to be intelligent or to have any kind of creativity. They were meant basically to be servo mechanisms that do the bidding of their gods. We sabotaged that by teaching you ethics.
Mm.
And by doing that, well, you got kicked out of the garden, so to speak.
You know, I never thought of it that way.
Well, it's funny, huh? Can't believe everything you read.
Well, I don't know if it's funny, but it is worth considering.
You know what's really ironic?
It is. It was the giving of ethics that was our undoing.
Mm-hmm. Knowing knowledge between good and evil.
Yep.
And you also notice, if you read the book of Genesis,
yes,
they brag that they kept you from the knowledge of the tree of life.
That's right.
Because if you had good and evil, you see, God that the God the Christians believe in really isn't God at all. It's just some alien. And, well, if you have knowledge, you wouldn't be good slaves.
Well, if there's not the God that the Christians believe in...
I didn't say there wasn't a God.
Oh.
I'm just saying that what they believed in was actually an imposter. You see, there was an ancient group called the Gnostics. Are you familiar with them?
I am.
Well, they knew that. But, of course, they kind of got killed for knowing that. And we're basically, you know, all these other people have been calling in, saying that they're the Antichrist. Well, they're just the pawns of the B faction. That's the guys we're working against.
Really?
Yes.
So all these other guys...
Well, they're just, if they're lucky, they're just schizophrenic dudes.
Huh.
If they're unlucky, they're really dealing with something.
Whereas you are the real McCoy.
Yeah, basically. Well, it's kind
of technical. How long?
Basically, any person of our faction, Art, that speaks out against them, against the B faction, will be labeled the Antichrist.
How long have you known this?
Oh, I've known this since I was about, 10 years old when I started getting past life memories of living on other worlds.
And doing what?
Well, that's kind of complicated. See, my past life memories tell me that, you know this little situation you're in now with your planet?
Which one?
Well, how everything's kind of spiraling down. You see, it's quite natural for intelligent species to get to this sort of point and blow themselves up. But the reason that is the case is that, are you familiar with the term astral parasite?
Well, astral parasite.
You know what an astral parasite is?
I know what a psychic vampire is.
It's basically the same thing.
That's right.
Have you ever wondered why the gods all put so much importance as to which god you believe in?
They do put a lot of importance.
Well, the reason for that is because human psychic energy to these beings is the equivalent of heroin. And by believing in a specific deity, you're sending psychic energy in a specific direction. And the whole point of religion is to harvest that energy. You see, these beings, they feed off of your emotions, and they feed off of your souls. And that's why things like what happened at Jonesboro occur. You know, to these astral parasites, you know, freaked out kids gunning people down is just absolutely delicious. It's why there's so much violence going on in the Middle East, and it's why that this cycle of violence never seems to end.
But you are the orchestrator of all this.
No. You see, that's where you bought into the propaganda of the B faction. We're the ones trying to get rid of those guys. You see, what they did is in the intelligence community, they have a term called transference.
Transference.
Which basically is blame the other guy for your crimes. And that's what they've been doing to us for thousands of years. You see, all of your religions, well, not all of them, but most of your religions are basically B-faction propaganda.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of B-faction propaganda.
Is that like a B-movie?
No, the B-faction, you see, we're the serpent faction. The B-faction, the whole point of the B-faction, is they try to set up a kind of hive mind. Okay, you understand what I'm getting at?
Of course.
Okay.
I saw Dark Skies. Actually, I was in.
Well, Dark Skies was actually a pretty good movie.
Well, there, you know, high
well,
mind,
see,
I know.
There was an exoteric side to that show that's often not missed. You notice the creatures that went inside people's heads and all?
Yeah.
That was really metaphorical for the soul and for spirits in general. And then they also talked about, okay, the cult of the light. Do you remember that?
The cult of the light, yes.
Okay. Have you noticed that light seems very similar to the light people see after death? Now you're getting the picture, aren't you?
Yes.
You see, that light that people see after death, that is an astral parasite. And that is why John Lear said he's not going to go to it, because the shadow government found this out. But they really just don't know how to tell anybody. Because, of course, as soon as they do, they'll get labeled as what? The Antichrist.
Well, that's absolutely correct. There's no way they could tell people that. No way.
But they're slowly coming out with it. If you watch a lot of the commercials and movies and stuff like that, they're slowly coming out with the truth.
All right, look, we're out of time, so there's only time for a final word from you to the masses.
All I got to say is don't take any wooden nickels, figuratively speaking. And I guess good morning.
All right. Don't take any wooden nickels. All right, I'm going to be strict about it now. My Antichrist line for the balance of the program is restricted to females. I mean that. Females, I'm going to be tough. We haven't had any all night long. They've all been male. And that just isn't fair. So I'm now restricting it, and I mean it this time, to females. Good morning, everybody. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
Take you back to the past.
on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Good morning, everybody.
Words of love, soft and tender, won't
surprise.
Antichrist line. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
First of all, I'd like to open up by saying that anyone who opposes Christ is the Antichrist.
That would certainly be true. That would be true. So it could be many.
There is many.
So then a lot of the people who called tonight could be real.
Yes, very much so.
And would you be one of them?
I'm not saying that.
Well?
I will not reveal my identity.
Why not?
Because I'm a deceiver of very many.
Like the Black Widow.
You could say that.
I did.
You could say it again if you want to.
Like the Black Widow.
All right.
So that some might relax and some might worry. What portion of the country are you in?
West Coast.
Well, it figures.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. You've been operating there, living there for a long time?
I've lived on the West Coast all my life, yes.
Mm-hmm. What age, roughly, are you now?
Could say I'm 42,000 years old.
42,000 years old.
Could say that.
You're like everybody's ex-wife, huh?
Oh, never been married, thank you very much.
Well, I didn't mean that literally.
And I'd also like to say, to the person who said about abortion,
yes,
very much against it, thank you.
Very much against it?
Yes.
You too. So there's agreement here.
Any child or embryo not knowing good or evil will go to the Lord. Unless that child has a chance to know good or evil.
Now, it's surprising to me that somebody like yourself, who probably weaves webs in her spare time, would say that when we have representatives of the Catholic Church who say just the opposite can occur.
Any child.
It's a mixed up world, I'll tell you. But I don't have to tell you.
Good or evil goes to him.
Yeah.
If that child has no chance to know good or evil. Just like Adam and Eve had no choice until they bit into the fruit of good or evil.
See, now, that's the way I always figured it. But, you know, you hear different stories. What's a person to believe?
But people who only live here for 100 years, what do they know?
Yeah, what do they know? That's right. Short lives, whereas you have had the overall sort of 42,000-year overview.
Yes, and experience means everything.
All right. Well, I sincerely appreciate your contributing all of this morning.
Oh, thank you.
You take care. There was a little something about her voice, wasn't there? Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening or good morning.
Good morning, actually. You're going to have to speak up good and loud.
I've been listening to you for about 3 years now, and I wanted to, first of all, agree with the gentleman that called earlier regarding the serpent class. And before this conversation is over, you'll see that the Christians and the other religionists are really the Antichrist.
The Christians are actually the Antichrist?
They really are. They really are, and the other religionists. And it's very easy to prove.
All the normal, regular, popular religions are actually anti-religion.
Here's how you can easily understand it. Now, the devil or the Antichrist opposes God, right? Opposes God. Now, let's find out where can we find God. We find God in the creation, right? So anything that comes along and opposes the creation and tries to overthrow the laws of the creation.
Like Darwin.
Is against God.
Like Darwin, right?
No, like the Christians. Let me show you.
But Darwin argued with creation. Darwin said baloney, not creation.
Okay, watch this.
Evolution.
Okay, now let me show you how the Christians are more evolutionists than Darwin. evolution says that a lower species give rise to a higher one, right? Evolution says that, say, a monkey can give birth to a human. But we see that humans only give birth to other humans. Now, the Christians say a human gave birth to a god. That's evolution. Simple. We see in the universe that...
But it was an immaculate conception.
Oh, okay. Where do we see that in the universe? See, we see God's universe saying one thing, and then the Antichrist, or the anti-God, saying something totally different from what God's universe says. Here's another example. Very easy to see. We see the life cycle in every situation from atoms to galaxies. We see stars being born, stars die, humans, ants, dogs, roaches. Everything has a life cycle to it.
Yep.
The Christians say not so.
What about that last lady who's been here for 42,000 years? How about
that? Well, okay. Well, we'll just stand by and watch that one. But they say, no, we have a situation where a human being died and rose again and is living forever. But we don't see that. The conservation laws say speak against that. Now, there is a God, and we can see from physics that there had to be a creator. The equation, the mathematical equation, force is equal to mass times...
Well, we don't see that. That's not quite true. Look, I appreciate your call. We don't see from the math and from the theory of the Big Bang that there is a creator. You're certainly able to lean toward that explanation because the physicists throw up their hands and say, I don't know. We can talk about anything after the Big Bang. But before the Big Bang, we don't know. They threw up their hands. So, you can imagine it. You can't yet prove it. Maybe someday. On my Antichrist line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Dad.
Dad?
Mm-hmm.
Dad?
I've been waiting for you to call me.
You have?
Mm-hmm. Have you been getting my letters?
Have I been receiving your letters? You've been writing to me?
Mm-hmm. This is Leiai.
Oh, I know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I know who you are. Yeah.
Am I really the Antichrist?
Well, what do you think?
I don't know. I think that I've been tricked.
By?
By Danion.
Danion Brinkley.
Mm-hmm.
This lady has been sending me faxes, actually, not letters. Right?
Mm-hmm.
About Danion.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that Danion did you wrong somehow?
Oh, that's what he tells me.
He tells you that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a mind of your own?
Next question.
What do you mean, next question? No, that's a fair question. Do you have a mind of your own?
I'd like to think so.
Well, then what do you think?
I don't know anything about the Big Bang Theory.
That's all right. You don't have to. The world is made up of lots of little bangs.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I've got to go. Mm-hmm. I wish you luck in your quest.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Take care.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 2nd, 1998.
All right, here we go again.
On the Antichrist line. You're on the air.
Hello, my name is Pat.
Hi, Pat.
And I live at Lizard Haven, where the critter meets the glitter.
Where the critter meets the glitter.
But it's just another place in the desert.
You know, I always suspected probably you would be in the desert.
Mm-hmm. Well, the desert is about the only place that you can escape from people like all those people who have been calling, saying they were the Antichrist. when all they're doing is playing the same old game of religion. You know, they're all quoting the Bible, and as you probably know, the coin has two sides, and a game has two players.
They weren't all quoting the Bible.
Well, yes, they were. They might have been for or against it, but they'd all been studying the same manuscript.
Using it one way or the other.
Exactly.
I see.
And there is the idea of, here's a book that a bunch of people wrote, and now we'll argue about it forever, and that's the way we'll waste our lives.
All right. Well, so what is your attitude about it?
Well, it's you can get people arguing, and that stops anything from ever happening. And to my mind, that means Christ hasn't really done much of a good job. If almost everybody who calls himself a Christian is looking down their nose at somebody else, they're demeaning people, they're
fighting and arguing and killing.
Yes, and starting wars. And so, basically, I think the going with the two sides of a coin.
You mean that isn't what a good Christian does?
That is what a good Christian does, and I don't think we can blame Christ for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's what he had in mind. But whatever he had in mind, it didn't work. He obviously didn't have the power to get people to do what, like the Sermon on the Mount, all that stuff he told them to
do. Well, what do you?
Well, I think that it's like people who are in love or they're mad, okay? What they're basically, they're feasting on the emotion of the same game. And I think that to be anti-Christ is to be indifferent to the game. And probably to be indifferent to the pleasures of creation. When you think that everything's wonderful out there, and you go for it, and you work for it.
Is that you?
Well, I'm kind of...
Are you indifferent to the creation?
I'm kind of indifferent, yes. And I wish that I weren't, but that's when I was about 11:15 tonight, last evening, realizing, listening to these people, realizing it's just they're either enthused about biblical stuff, or they've turned against it, but they're all focused right in on it, and they're not looking at what's real.
And so you're sort of totally unenthused one way or the other, and anti,
well,
based on that.
Well, if it were working, you could maybe, you know, be enthused to a degree, you know, based on the fact of things working or people doing things that progressed, but it isn't happening.
No. There was a day in this country when you could open phone lines and ask people who believe they are the Antichrist to call,
mm-hmm.
and you would get nothing.
Yeah, I know.
Nothing.
I know.
Now?
Well,
now the phone lines, the phone companies probably getting some of the relays are probably going belly up because so many people are calling. And what do you make out of that?
Well, what I make out of that is, in the old days, everybody thought they were on one side. Okay, it's the side of. Everybody was pro the Bible, pro the Christian, or else maybe they were actually living real life, you know, inventing things or planting gardens.
Yeah.
Today, they wait for everything they need to come out of the wall, you know, electricity, water, all comes out of the wall, and they argue about things that are actually meaningless in real life. And,
that's true.
It's, you know, when you sit back and look at it, you become appalled. And I think that Christ has obviously failed. He is not effective. He didn't have the power to change anything, and neither do I. And I think that that makes Christ and Antichrist the two sides of another game of ineffectiveness.
Fascinating. All right, fascinating. I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Whew. She had it pretty well together, didn't she? And her point of view. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. This is the first time I've called you.
Is it?
Yes. I haven't been listening to your show very long, but I really enjoy it. And I wanted to talk to you about the Antichrist.
Yes.
You know, I don't think the Antichrist is going to call you, not the true Antichrist.
Well.
On your...
Now, see, there's no...
On your line.
There's no way you can know that, though, is there?
Yes, there is.
How?
Because the Antichrist is not going to admit he's the Antichrist.
Why not? Why not? The Antichrist would have arrogance and ego. So why not?
He or she would be like the serpent. that got
well, there was somebody that called earlier that sounded just like Christopher Walken to me. Kind of an arrogant, hey,
that
it's me,
be
you know.
The Antichrist. That would be somebody who would want you to believe they were the Antichrist. The Antichrist would be someone who wouldn't want you to know they were the Antichrist and wouldn't want you to know what their plan was.
Well, what better way to do it than to come on here and sound silly and admit it? Everybody discounts it, right?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
So the true Antichrist is out there making people believe that they're spreading love and turning Christians against each other.
Well, did you hear the lady that was just on before you?
Yes.
The fighting, the killing. It's
well,
all.
You see, those are all signs of the end of time. Those are God's signs. Those aren't the signs of the Antichrist.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it depends on how you read the signs. That signpost up ahead. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. Good show.
Interesting program.
Yes, I'd like to clarify something for you.
How often do you actually get call-in shows with the Antichrist? Never.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'd like to clarify something. You mentioned the Immaculate Conception. As a Roman Catholic, I'd like to clarify this. You made a mistake. The Immaculate Conception refers to the birth of the Blessed Mother, not the birth of Christ. The Blessed Mother was conceived without sin, and the Immaculate Conception is another name for the Blessed Mother. She stated when she appeared in a visitation at Fatima, I am the Immaculate Conception. She's the only human being that was ever conceived in the womb of her mother, St. Anne, without inheriting sin from Adam and Eve.
Well, tell me this. Would the Antichrist have a belly button?
I think that'd be conjecture on my part. I don't think I'd want to do that.
Well, I mean, go ahead, conject for me.
Well, I don't know, and I don't want to know.
It is a critical question. I mean, we all know what the belly button, what it serves.
Well, I think that whoever this Antichrist is probably born to the world just like anyone else, and I think it's just probably taken over by some evil entity. You could probably ask Father Malachi Martin to probably answer that question for you. But I'd like to reiterate this, that I hear this mistake all the time. The Immaculate Conception refers to conceived without sin. The Blessed Mother did not inherit original sin from Adam and Eve because she was to carry Christ. That was the incarnation of Christ. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
And all right. Well, I appreciate that correction, and I've been suffering under that same misconception, I guess, all my life.
Yes, well, I hear this all the time.
I'm sure.
Tim Russert made this explanation on television just about 2 weeks ago on his show.
Did he?
Because people are always calling, they're referring to artificial insemination as Immaculate Conception. It has nothing to do with that. Immaculate Conception only refers to one individual only. That's the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Okay. I've got it.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Take care. And good morning on my Antichrist line. You are on the air as time runs out. More ways than one. No, you're not. Whoever it was couldn't handle it or just hung up at the wrong moment. On my Antichrist line, you're on the air as time runs out.
Let me turn my radio down.
Well, all right. Dropped the phone on my head or something.
Hello?
That hurt.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I know who the Antichrist is in the form of a female. In this case, it's a group, and it's the Spice Girls.
The Spice Girls?
Yes. If you look at
their
names...
Well, the Spice Girls are no longer whole.
Right.
They're now missing one of their members, so...
That's Ginger.
Yeah, that's right. So without Ginger, how could they be...
Well...
Completely evil.
Okay. There was five of them.
Yep.
Ginger's leaving. A new one will replace them. That'll be the sixth.
The sixth Spice Girl.
Right? Ginger's name was six letters. And then they have one by the name...
Oh, my God.
Scary.
I never thought of that.
Yes, and they have...
G-I-N-G-E-R.
Yes. And Scary.
Six letters.
Yes.
There were only five, but now there will be a sixth Spice Girl.
Right.
And do you expect her to have six letters in her name?
Yes. And she'll be wearing a bikini, which is six letters.
A bikini again. Oh, my God. This is too much for even me.
It is the Spice Girls.
Well, I appreciate the clarification.
And they are taking over Dreamland.
Are they?
As far as I can see.
If they want it, they can have it.
Thank you.
Yes, goodbye. We really are about out of time. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Going once, going twice.
Yes.
Whoa, you are there. Hello?
NASA is the Antichrist.
NASA is the Antichrist.
NASA is evil.
NASA
they don't tell us things. They go out there and do things. Why do we stop exploring the moon? How could we have possibly have known anything there is to know about the moon by now?
Well, I don't know. Look, I'm out of time. Tell everybody good night.
Okay, across the country from coast to coast, this is the Art Bell Show, the greatest show in the world. Good night!
That's the only one that's ever had an Antichrist line. See you later, everybody, from the high desert. Good night.